with space here. All right. We will declare it 5:15, and we will call our meeting, Finance Committee meeting to order, and let's just do a roll call. Or not a roll call, but go around the room.
Rick Fagerly.
Andrew Plowman.
Rob Bumgarn.
Julie Osmus.
Steve Okins.
Audrey Nelson, and we have the West Central Tribune Shelby here, so thank you. There is no one here from the public. There's no public comment. First item we're going to talk about is municipal state aid revocation and designation. Did I say it right?
That's correct, Madam Chair. Included in your packet is a, I'll say, first step. We talked about this a couple meetings ago where the engineering department and myself were reviewing the state aid streets in conjunction with the street program and the possibility of some legislation with some additional financing. So this would be the first step in the process. When you have a municipal state aid street, the state funds that through a needs, what they call a needs system. And so based on the life of the street and what it needs, you get fundings for it. So if you've used any of those funds, you can't redesignate it. And so the map that you had included in your packet, and I have extras for handout here, City Engineer Christensen has looked at Civic Center Drive, which is included in the proposed 2019 street program, and that is not a state aid street presently. And so he's proposing in his information that he provided to the committee a redesignation. So you have to revoke the state aid status on one portion and redesignate it for another. So he's recommending that the 28th Street Southwest route, including 23rd Street Southwest, be revoked and that it be redesignated. And also Arena Road be revoked and that it be redesignated primarily for Civic Center Drive. There's a small section of Trott Avenue that you might miss it if you're not looking at it, the map real closely, that also would be designated, and that would complete Trott Avenue designation, the full length, be it stated.
Why was there a portion of Trott Avenue that wasn't?
That portion wasn't designated because County Road 5 was not there. And then when they did County Road 5, they connected that little section to complete Trott Avenue to that avenue. And it just never has been cleaned up. The second part will be coming later. And I do have a map. I didn't include it, but we do have a map of it. It's hard to see, so I'll make copies and provide it to the council of all of the state aid systems. Primarily, a lot of them are in the main core of the community in downtown, and that was just primarily, again, when Litchfield Avenue was a state highway, and so he's in the process of re-cleaning those up, and some of those may be in more than just a second stage, but they, as the needs drop off and they don't have and use the money, that'll clean that whole system up and make it more of a grid system in the community. But for tonight's action, we're looking at asking the council to do a motion to recommend the adoption of the redesignation and the revocation of that streets that I did mention.
I like that motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further, any discussion? I do have a question though, Steve, just general. Excuse me. As the community changes, can you get access to additionals?
Basically, there's a formula that the state allocates a certain percentage of your total street mileage as municipal state aid. So as annexations occur, you can get additional mileage assigned because of that formula.
Okay, so that would be an ask on our part to?
No, that's an automatic, because they certify when there's an annexation, they certify the streets.
So okay. It goes based on area?
On lineal mileage.
Lineal mileage.
Yeah, and so there's an annexation of on County Road 5 in the north, and then there's a proposed annexation in the south for the Caterpillar that would affect that slightly. You may notice that it's slightly different on the mileage, and so it never will be exact, and because it's from a termination point and a designation point, so.
But you said we have a few miles that we can kind of go back and forth with on other streets, or didn't you indicate that?
There was a small amount that we still have available to designate, and as they clean up the core part of the community, that'll get cleaned up.
So will they help with the stop and go lights out there when we put them on County Road 5?
That I understand is eligible for municipal state aid monies. I'm not sure if that's still a recommended project at this point or not.
Took it out.
Yeah. And so when and if that is put in there, that would be eligible for some state aid money. And we do use 25% of our annual allotment into the operating budget, the general operating budget, for maintaining these state aid streets, plowing, snow, crack sealing, seal coating, and that's built into our operating budget, and the remaining amount goes into the construction. It has to be used for 25% is the maximum you can use for operational maintenance, and we do that.
That includes the airport too, doesn't it?
The airport it's a separate type of funding. That's FAA and the state aeronautics, so it's different source of money.
Any other questions on this state aid motion that we have? So we have a motion and a second to adopt the resolution with the descriptions that are listed on, there's I think 3 revoking and 2 establishing. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So just a comment too on that street light. We did talk about, when we talked about financing for streets, we did talk about looking at other options to pay for that because it is needed for the industrial park. So there might be some other options that we wouldn't have to use this money, which would keep that money available for streets. So we'll see what happens. Okay, next item. Establish fees, permits, and license and rental fees.
Madam Chair, again included in your packet is a recommendation to adopt some changes to the permit fees, licenses, and rental rates that the city has. This is an annual process that we do. The primary changes are to remove the community education and recreation section and replace that with the parks and recreation section, and just kind of with that reorganization. And I don't know if Rob has some comments. I believe it's been to the park board and they've reviewed or aware of these changes, so.
Yep, exactly. I think probably the biggest one is going to be with the Dorothy Olson Pools, that we adjusted the daily and season pass, or the season passes of $5. That has been adjusted probably in the last 4 or 5 years.
The process we use is that these fees are sent out to all the department directors and for their review and recommendations, and then it's sent back and then compiled and brought to the committee for adoption.
And one other one would be the per hour for ICE. It was at 145. Now it's going to be at 150. When I started off as the arena manager, it was at 145, and so it hasn't been touched for 3 years, so it's time to adjust.
So we always ask this question, how do we compare to other communities? And I mean, it's hard to tell with the fees whether we're higher or lower or what we raised.
With ICE, we're still fairly cheap compared to what the other communities are doing. Like Alexandria, we always compare ourselves with Alexandria's. They're about at that 180 mark per hour. They do some different things with non-prime and prime time ICE, but they're going to be in a lot of competition now because there is a private rink up there now. And so there's going to be some interesting adjustments to
feed. Which community?
Alexandria. So they have a private sheet of ICE up there now. So
they got mad, huh? And they built their own?
Basically. So, but we're affordable for our users. We don't have a whole lot of people outside of Wilmer renting ice per se right now during our ice season. It's worked for us. It'll be interesting too to see how much energy that we are using with the new system. And so it's hard to tell because of we haven't ran the system, and we're going to get a gauge about it a little bit when we start it up for summer ice. And then it's going to also be adjusted again once we get the blue line enveloped and sealed up properly. So
we primarily look at these two times during the year, annually in the beginning of the year, so that anything can get billed. And then again, at budget time, we provide this information again if the council chooses to change direction in certain programs. They want to give direction, say the Civic Center, if they say it has to be 80% self-sufficient or something like that, then we would go back and revisit them. Otherwise, we do it annually.
Is it at 80%?
No. And we've provided reports, and we can certainly put that on a future agenda too, on the different areas of the Aquatic Center. It's always been one that's been looked at, Civic Center, some of those programs.
There are some scholarships for the Aquatic Center too, are there not?
Yep, they can get scholarships through the Park and Rec Department. We're looking at like PAC4 to start trying to get those funds available. We just got a $600 donation for scholarships this week, so that will go towards any scholarship program that individual needs.
So that should be something that can be shared at the same time when you talk about fees and those, about options for people if they don't feel they can afford.
We're going to put it in our brochure too for those people that need to look for scholarships.
Okay. So it is staff's recommendation that we adopt this resolution?
Mm-hmm.
With that.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Accept the staff's recommendation to adopt the new 2019 charges. Any further discussion? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Moving along. Otto Brimmer grant application.
I'm chairing committee tonight. I'm here to ask for permission to apply for the Otto Brimmer grant. For the Trishaw bikes, if no one knows what a Trishaw bike is, it's the bike that has the carriage in the front. You have what's called a pilot in the back. It's battery assisted, so you can get people that have a hard time getting around. They can enjoy the outside. They can scoot around and everything. I rode one personally, and it had no problem moving me around. It'll work. So they're requesting to do this grant. It was supposed to have happened in the fall, but there's been was some more conversations with the Wilmer bike community, and there's some staffing issues that happened at Bethesda, so we're bringing it back to you now in the spring here. Hopefully we get approval, we can apply for it. It's for $50,000. We want to be able to at least get 5 bikes out of that with extra batteries and maybe a trailer to go along with it so we can transport it around. Bethesda does have their bike right now, so it would be nice to get another one so we can keep some at the community center, and Bethesda would have some as well. We basically will be the financial host of it, so we would be keeping the dollars and, you know, doing the maintenance and costs and all that type of stuff. So we just seek your approval to apply for the grant, and hopefully we get it, then we can get some Trishaw bikes here.
So just to refresh me, was there any conversation? Will Pleasant View get any of them? Or
I believe it was just between the city and Bethesda. So
that is Pleasant View. Isn't that what you said?
No, Pleasant View would be over
Wilmer Avenue.
Well, they're both. And then,
you mean Race Care?
Yeah.
No, this was the
okay. Bethesda Pleasant View. Yeah. Okay,
Bethesda.
How about Race Care?
No, we haven't.
Okay.
No, but
I was thinking they were the ones.
They have already reached out to both, like, Copperleaf and I'm not sure, you know, where these bikes are going to, what we're applying for, where they're going to end up, but that they would be available to be, you know, rented out, or not rented, but used. I think the intention is for them to be used by other entities and, you know, to be available that way. That's still the plan, isn't it?
Yep, because even New London would like to get into this as well with their senior center. They want to kind of see how it goes and how popular they are before they commit dollars to it.
So, Rob, some of the money, though, is to help with the cost for the bike share in addition to the cycling without age, right? Is that the two figures that are in here?
I think they, as far as it's, I have the $50,000 for the grant, and then, but the bike share program is already pretty much fully funded with the Caris, and then with community ed dollars, city dollars.
Okay, because the Steve and I were having that conversation of what the budget was, because they did announce at the bike meeting the other day that they were still looking or were working on this grant together, and I thought there was some money in this grant that was going to help with the cost for staffing and some of the initial costs, but I don't know that for sure. I don't
the, haven't the seen way the budget. That I with the conversation that I've had that this $50,000 was strictly going, you know, for the Trishaw bikes and nothing with the bike share. Because that's pretty much is already funded through Caris and
Blue Cross
and Renville County with SHIP and everything.
So the what's on here when it talks about this, the annual software fees and anticipated bike maintenance fees expenses, that's expenses for the city to pay for the Trishaw, not for the bike share program.
The GPS and everything is for the bike share program.
What's on here?
Yes, I think they just wanted to say that we're getting 40 bikes, 10 docking stations for the bike share program, and that is going to be an annual cost to the city of $5,200 for the bike share program.
So they're kind of putting both programs in here because they will somewhat tie it and work together.
Well, it's all through the bike committee.
Yeah, but there's two different programs.
Yes.
Wilmer Bike Share and then the cycling for what I use it.
Cycling without age.
Without age.
Yep. So I think what Britta did is she combined some of the bike share with this Bremer grant.
The information.
Yes. For the history of it.
Oh, not that some of the money would go for that.
No.
I think that was a request from, I mean, that they thought would be a stronger request for Bremer to
helpful.
With the bike,
yeah,
that the bikes were working together.
Yeah, because back in the fall, when we talked to a person from Bremer, they said the more collaborations that you have, the better off you're going to get it. Like they want to be the closer on these type of programs.
Okay.
Makes sense.
So did we lose anything or lose out on anything for not getting on top of it in the fall?
Not in my eyes. So.
In other people's eyes?
Could, yes.
What did we lose out on?
That they're not ready for this spring.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Time.
But okay.
The time.
Just usage time. Got
but,
it.
But
not
with,
funds or
no,
or
but
anything
with the time,
else.
Though, we were able to talk to the Wilmer Bike group, and they got on board with it as well, so we're able to say that we're collaborating with another bike
okay.
group. So
that might have helped the
and Bethesda hasn't done any. I had a conversation with them too. They haven't really done any other fundraising at this point in
they
time.
They tried the GoFundMe project when Stephanie was there, and Stephanie's no longer at Bethesda, and that just didn't take off at all. So
whether they'll end up, I mean, this was because the city, did the city commit to 10 bikes or did the city commit to 5 bikes?
Their ultimate goal is to get to 10, but we're going to go to 5.
But this is only going to get us to 5, right?
Yep.
And the other, because I originally had heard that 5 would be at Bethesda and 5 would be at the community center.
If we can get to 10.
If we get to 10.
Yep.
But right, so Bethesda will have 1 and the community center will have 5 if we get this grant.
Yes, that's how we see it. And then if Bethesda needs them, then we have the trailer, then they can use them as well. So.
All right. We are asking to a motion to be able to apply for this grant.
So moved.
Second.
All right, is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. All right, we're going to move on to discussion items. And first one is the 2018 Rice Trust Activity and Balances.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this is just included in your packet as an informational item. To give some of the newer council members a brief history on this, the Rice Trustees used to have to come to the city. That was changed a number of years ago, and they were sent over to the hospital board, and they would give their updates quarterly. The hospital board is now, with the Caris Health transaction, everything is given the responsibility to review this and have the discussions with the trustees. We get the report as information only, and so we've included it. And there is a adopted policy, investment policy, and they are restricted to a certain percentage in equities. They usually do not have any problems on distributing the proceeds, and that whole process now is handled by Rice Hospital Board. If you would want them to come and give a report, or the hospital or anybody, we certainly can ask them to do that.
I know at the last meeting they gave a brief report, and they talked about the loss that occurred in the with it, but that it had pretty much been recouped in the first months in the year. First month in the year, but we just need to accept the annual report, right?
Yeah.
It's just information.
It's just information.
You don't have to do anything.
Way back when the council, before the council adopted a change in philosophy on the percentages of equities, this was at $1.5 million for many, many, many years in the early 80s. Early to late 80s, and then the council changed policy to increase equities, and it's now up over $3 million. So,
and they
management too.
They only use the growth to pay for
indigent care for
indigent care. Thank you. I was gonna say unreimbursed care.
It used to be administered out of Bremer, out of Marshall, for the trustees, and now is out of wealth management at the Wilmer branch. Jeff Schultz with Bremer over here is the trustee, so managed locally.
Any questions on the trust or any additional information anybody wants?
If the Rice name were to ever be removed from the hospital, there would be some question about where this trust would go. So, but as long as that remains there, then it still goes for indigent care for anybody at the hospital.
You're still the liaison, aren't you?
Yeah.
We're in good hands.
No. I do think they are I think you probably have heard the name change on the foundation. There was a letter that went out to the donors. That's how I heard about it. So, but that's a whole different entity than this. And I know Andrew and I had a conversation about the difference between the trust and the foundation. And so the trust still lies with the city as Rice Hospital, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Steve, I'm sorry, did you mention the holdings are all managed locally?
Yes. Yeah, from the local Bremer branch. Jeff Schultz is the contact that we have over there.
Okay, and this was the calculation was date ending still back in 2018.
Pardon me?
The date that these numbers were compiled?
Yes.
Back in
2000. Yeah, through 12/31. So, yeah, the value has...
If that's when it was, that was a down market.
Yeah, in December.
Since
yeah.
then, it's really bounced back.
Yeah.
It's
basically gained all the losses that it had for 2018 in the market. I mean, for most people, anyway, if they've got a 457 plan or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's now, what was conveyed at the last board meeting, was they reviewed this, that they had their review with the trustee, mm-hmm. and that there was a loss, but that it had been recouped since the first of the year, the account value kind of thing. So,
No, it's my understanding that wealth management at Bremer was kind of a separate silo until like the first of the year, now has been more incorporated into the banking side.
Okay.
And so they're more closely related and not kind of an investment in the bank and in the banking. So.
Got it. Well, it looks like they do a good job. It looks like a diversified portfolio. So.
Mm-hmm. And the hospital board does have input, I mean, and can give some direction if they so choose. So.
I think it's really only reviewed on the, I mean, outside of that, but there is just an annual review of the balances with the need, because the need is much greater than what they actually get back.
And historically, so that has always been the case. Yeah.
There's a lot that's written off that isn't reimbursed by the trust. So.
Yep.
All right. Any other questions on the trust? All right. We will move on to the next item that Steve put on here is local option sales tax effective date. And Steve and I had a conversation, and he's just doing some work to get ready for when we get passed and kind of the timeline that has to take place after that. And so he wanted to share that with the group. And
yeah, I included in the packet, Madam Chair, members of the committee, a copy of the bill that was introduced in the House. And the a lot of them have an effective date of a certain, like August 1st or something like that. Ours talks about when the governing body complies with a Minnesota statute 645, and I did include that statute as well. I've been in contact with the Department of Revenue, so if the legislative session would end on May 20th, which is when it is scheduled to end, and the tax bill and all the bills get passed, we do have a council meeting that night, and so we could be prepared to bring to you a resolution introducing an ordinance to set a public hearing, because we have to confirm the legislation that has been approved, which we're hoping, and then we would need to send that form to the Secretary of State, and once that's done, we would need to then notify the Commissioner of Revenue, and they require a 90-day notice upon passage, and they also, because they require 60 days to notify all of the vendors that this new tax, the new rate is in effect. And their rules state that they would only implement on the first day of a quarter. So that puts that to October 1st. So if there's a May 20th passage with all those dates and the requirements of holding the hearing and everything, the potential effective date of the local option sales tax locally would be October 1st.
That's a little different date than what we were planning on.
Yes. I believe so, August 1st has been mentioned at a couple different meetings.
So, you know, the goal would be to do it on the 20th, but when we were talking about that, we also looked at if we had to wait till June 3rd. That would be our next meeting.
That
right?
Would the dates would still hold true.
So I mean, it wouldn't make a difference.
That 60
it
would still and that 90 days can no. still fit in there.
Yeah, I mean, the so 90 days would put it past the July 1 potential. I mean, and that was.
So May 20th or June 3rd would end up with the same results of October 1st if the stars aligned.
With the 90 day the requirement from the Department of Revenue.
Okay.
Yep. So. We plan on giving this information to the Invest in Wilmer Group, and we received notification today that the Senate's bill is being introduced on the 28th of this month at 8:30 in the morning.
Do you guys have to go down for that?
I believe that intention is for them to be scheduled to testify, correct. There has been, I know, some information that's been provided out from the chairman of the tax committee in the House, Loeffler, about the next year's process. Nothing that would affect this year's, but that there would be more requirements to have more detailed, similar to what we've provided. exactly what you're going to spend it for, and not a lump sum like some of them have, and be more specific. Now, I know that there is still a proposal in the Senate that hasn't had their hearing yet as far as giving cities in general the authority to have a half a cent and not have to come back to the state for approval. Whereas in the House, they're saying that you got to come get approval before you have the referendum. Some of that. So that discussion is all taking place down at the state now. So
there's a few, I mean, kind of different directions that the different bodies are talking about. So we'll just hope that we stay the course for where we're at. And that was the, you know, the plan was to do the same thing in the Senate that was done in the House with the same documentation. The handouts that were done, they're already ready to go. So, any questions on any of that? And you're comfortable with? I mean, I know you did your homework.
But. Yeah, we have confirmation and the legality of what it can be used for and what it can't be used for. Again, there's a difference between what it legally can be used for and what public perception and or political acceptance would be. So, that will take place. Again, I believe in discussions with the Invest in Wilmer. We will make the recommendation to the park board, which then will come to the council. And there are our Councilman Nelson and Councilman Meskey that sit on the Invest in Wilmer board. So
where are we at on Cambridge?
This will then dictate some more discussion on. I was planning on April 4th meeting when we talk about excess $18. And different options that would be available on Cambridge, on the
streets, on
the enclosed shelter for Robbins Island. Now, both those projects have somewhat been started, but not actual construction contracts signed. And so the legal notification that we've got is that you can reimburse. That's not what we've had as far as discussions for engineering and stuff. There are certain steps you'd have to do, similar to street bonds, where you'd have to have the intent to reimburse resolution introduced and those types of things. But they have also indicated that if the contracts aren't signed, that you could use local option sales tax monies for both of those projects. But with this date, we were looking at an earlier date. So
to get going on Cambridge.
Cambridge is still scheduled to be included in the street program, the finalization, because the bids are still yet to come in. That discussion will still take place as far as the funding sources. So it's still in the bonding or the borrowing dollars at this point. It may have an impact on the decision as far as if the council wants to use local option sales tax monies or not. Legally you can, but that discussion would need to take place yet.
And where is that discussion taking place?
I would think that when we start the bonding process, that would come back to this committee, and that was scheduled to happen in May.
So the questions that still are in my mind is, Cambridge needs to get done this year. That was the commitment we made when we voted on it. And so if any of these time frames are in question, what are our options for the money to get Cambridge done and get it bid and get it done this year? So, and with, with the local option sales tax, Cambridge was approved prior to the local option sales tax, does it fit there, or do we have to come up with some other money? Keeping in mind that we were told that the streets are probably going to come back, that they're going to be over also, so we're going to have to find some money for a couple different things, and maybe that one shouldn't be in with the streets, it should just be paid for in another manner, and I think Steve's working on options for that, and obviously it's going to come back to the council to make that decision. So
I have some items that I would like, when we get to the calendar, to add to have future discussion on funding. One is Cambridge. Another one would be the action the council took on the Y utility project, which again we're still waiting for final documents and final numbers on that.
The 50-50 thing.
Yeah, with the utilities and the agreement with them. We also have the shelter and some of these other, all the capital projects will be coming back to this committee to kind of synchronize and schedule, and with the local option sales tax. And so we've been in communication with the bonding people and trying to put together schedules and those types of things.
Well, I thought before it was either before the Public Works Public Safety meeting or before our last finance meeting. It was like we were, I thought we were just like waiting, that you were waiting to hear from somebody, whether it was the city attorney or whether or not that local option sales tax money could be used for Cambridge. But now this time frame, I think, puts us out of even thinking about that discussion because we made a commitment to do something with that, and we can't wait till October.
So there were different opinions that we may have to go back to the legislature to ask for an amendment if we were going to put that project in. And so there was one person who said yes and one person that said that wasn't necessary.
Right, so I thought we were waiting on that clear clarification of because a contract hadn't been signed, then it was eligible or not. And so, but now I think this time frame eliminates that discussion.
This is the first that this time frame has been discussed, so it needs to go back. The local option sales tax committee will meet next week too, and you know, we're going to have to. I'm not sure that that's the place, or if it's just at the council. I think that the message is we need to get it done.
Right.
Where the money's coming from, and I think the other thing that Steve and I have talked about a couple of times is that we should have made that decision, you know, at that time where the money was coming from.
Last fall.
And we've gotten a few of those now where, you know, I think now that we have committee structure back in place, we can go back to that, to where's the money coming from when we approve something to make sure that that's clarified.
So. I agree. I think had this committee been in place then, that would have been the appropriate time to send the project to committee, the Cambridge project.
With how it was going to be funded.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then and it would have been decided then.
Yeah.
As opposed to being talked about now.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that it, you know, maybe can't qualify or doesn't qualify or timing or whatever, but that's water under the bridge. Mm. No pun intended. Under the ground. That's water under the ground.
Hope it stays under the bridge. No.
Yeah. But we'll have options, and we have been assured by engineering on a couple of occasions, at least I have, and I think we have as a group, that it will get done. There are ways to get it done, and I'm confident in that.
Yeah. And so we can add that again to the April 4th meeting to have further discussion on it. Now that we have, you know, the information, we have the legal opinion from the bonding people that it can be used for, it comes down to, again, a decision because of the timing, because it was approved before. Politically and or publicly, is it a wise choice to do so, to use it for it or not? Probably.
Well, now having all the information and the full timeline, that's the best way to make the decision.
Yep.
See, to me, the controversy before was either doing it immediately or waiting until that August 1st date we were kind of looking at for the local option sales tax. And so I think there were some council members that were feeling we needed to do it before August 1st because we'd made the commitment last fall. And then there was some that it was, well, we can get through to August. But now, if it's October, I think we'll have the discussion at the council. Mm-hmm. But I think it's off. Well,
It may ultimately, I mean, the timeline may ultimately help the decision-making process.
Exactly.
It may force the decision.
Exactly.
So.
And we still are waiting on a response on some of these communities that have put an August 1st date in their bill. That physically isn't possible. So they'll have some issues to deal with in dealing with the Department of Revenue, which they evidently have not done. So, but we have contacted I've gotten the numbers from the county for the sales tax that was collected in 2018.
For them.
Pardon me?
For them.
Yeah.
For them, which will be slightly higher than what we would collect. But it is going to meet the dollar amounts that we've looked at, their projections. And it's averaging in the $250,000 to $275,000 a month range. It's surprising to me that November, December were the lower months, which is normal shopping time.
Right.
So our discussion today.
Well, online now, the sales tax, they have to pay that.
When did they route it back?
Yeah. Pardon me?
When did that start?
I don't know.
I thought they were
sometime this summer.
Oh, I thought they were in the middle of lawsuits on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
What a federal reciprocity issue?
There is something on that. Yeah. There. I mean, but I know that Invest in Wilmer Group had talked about that, and I believe that has been implemented. So.
So our discussion tonight was just to kind of, Steve had done the homework for the schedule for us just to be aware of. That's his understanding with right now, and to know that we'll have those other decisions coming up with that. So any other questions anybody has on that? If not, do you want to talk about this?
Yeah, I do apologize. The calendar is here too as well, but there were a couple questions at the council meeting. One was by Councilman Meske asking about the difference between tax abatement and tax increment. I do have some information. I just didn't know the process. If you want that on the next agenda, since it was not included in the agenda packet, what I do have is a one page, basically from the House Research Committee. And I can hand it out and then put it on the agenda for next time for discussion, and you can have this information in the meantime to review.
Or do you want to just wait till next meeting?
I have another meeting. Okay.
Local. Well, so we'll just save it for
we'll
next time.
We'll put it on the next agenda. Yeah. And then the second question that was asked at the council meeting was the remaining amount of deferred and suspended assessments. And I had indicated there was about 500,000, which is slightly less than that, 498 and change. The primary areas, there's a number of senior deferments.
Okay.
So those would still stay on the books. The suspended parts are basically for streets where half of the street is outside the city, the other half is in. 19th Avenue Northeast is one. The one 15th Street Northwest by the college, there's a part that's outside the city there. So that's where the suspended ones basically are. And then I also mentioned on the ag deferments, there's about $447,000 of ag deferred as well, primarily against the Gesh property over by the Y. It's got a big chunk of that. And they're the ones that I indicated have been in inquiring about what it would cost to clean those up. So we have those numbers as well.
Don't you wonder sometimes how long we're going to have a cornfield in the middle of town?
Yeah, You know what? You wouldn't even believe me if I said this, and I wish it wasn't recording, but that's fine. Go ahead and record it. You can publish this too. I had a dream about this one time. I had a dream that the city of Wilmer had like massively expanded, right? And so that like... We were like triple the size that we are now, and there's housing developments going way out, and that cornfield was still
there,
right there in the middle. And my kids were older, and they're like, "Why do you? You were a city leader. Why did you let there be a cornfield in the middle of town?" And it was the craziest dream ever.
We'll have both those items on our next agenda.
No, it was a good one. Because they've asked me before driving.
The dream analysis or what?
Well, and then the calendar will be those items are scheduled so that
we
kind of have a full agenda for the 4th the way it looks.
Yeah, so April 4th could be a little bit longer. We'll do our best to do that. Yeah.
If I may.
Yeah.
Just jumping back to the one that you hit right before this regarding tax increment financing and tax abatement.
Yep.
And I think maybe one of the things that Sean was alluding to is that, number one, a refresher for all of us is good.
Yes.
But then following that refresher, if there's some way or something that we could do as a city to simplify the words, make it easy to understand and like put it on the website and like broadcast it to so that everybody can get a general feel, because and I'm sure other people get questions too, so many questions regarding, you know, we're against that, we're against tax abatement, or we're against that, and it's usually like the opposite terminology, and everybody uses all the same terminology, and then, or they just say subsidies, we're against subsidies just altogether. And I think Sean's thinking, and I don't want to speak on his behalf, but on my own behalf, I think it would just be helpful for after we get refreshed, I think it would be highly beneficial if we could come up with some media component that would make it really visible, highly visible on the city's website, and maybe, you know, something that gets put out on Facebook. I don't know if we do Instagram, Twitter, whatever, that just hits the main points. Because in doing my own research, there are some really helpful websites out there that when you have questions about politics, municipal processes and stuff like that, they really break it down and simplify it and make it easy to understand. And I think it's a much easier thing for the public to accept on certain projects when they understand it, really how it works. Yeah.
Does anyone remember at the community development meeting, Sarah passed out those two when we were talking about it, correct? Mm-hmm. Did they go to the full council, or was that just a handout to us at that meeting? Because the documents she passed, okay. They would be good, I think, to get shared also. But your comment on the Facebook page you could share that, your explanation the other day.
Well, and that was partly fed by, you know, have discussions with some other people, and so many people are under the impression that, you know, when there's a subsidy, you know, yep, a subsidized project, either going through TIF or going through tax abatement or whatever, that people's tax dollars are being given to other people. And that's just not true. Yeah. That's not how it works. Yeah. Now, I know that there are different feelings about whether, like,
they
what's acceptable,
or, yeah,
what's not, whether, yeah, or not it should, but that's an ideological question. But we still got to get the facts out there. And the facts are that we're not literally taking this taxpayer
money and giving it to this newcomer
yep, into the city. We're not giving them money.
Right.
And I think if the public even understood just kind of the basic concepts of that, it would take some of that angst away.
Yeah.
And for us at the table, like during a city council meeting, it may be redundant, but I think every time something like that comes up,
I think we
need to have a brief refresher that goes out with the recording. Because even with the last city council meeting, when Sean had a PowerPoint all ready to go about the street improvements, what was it that all of the people that were there from the community, their heartburn, their questions, were their concerns, were about what was in that PowerPoint? And we should have gone through the PowerPoint.
Yes. Yep.
That was a mistake. And so I think any time when we have that opportunity, even though it may extend the meeting, ready to go.
Yeah, and even just to share the maps that people can get, because the people watching at home are looking at something different than what we have.
Yeah.
And so I think it is important, and that technology, I think, would help to have those things.
I'll take full ownership of that, and that is I think that we take for granted, at least I do, I won't speak on behalf of anybody else, and I take for granted that we see the stuff over and over, and I've seen it now for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So it's now familiar, you know, and then if we've gone through the PowerPoint a few times and it becomes familiar. But then the individuals, just like you said, you know, their questions were zoomed way, way, way out to the point of what is this going to cost me? How is this calculated? I have 50 feet here and 150 feet. What is this going to mean to me financially?
Yeah.
And we cannot forget that those are the people that we represent, and therefore they deserve clear, understandable answers to those questions.
And they're only dealing with it once every, if you've owned your property for
long time,
30 years,
yeah,
you know, you're dealing with that, where we deal with it every year with the other. So I think it is important for them to be able to experience that information too. So
And it's confusing. I remember when I was first learning about it, it's confusing for me. So it's got to be confusing for a ton of people out there.
Okay, so just direction, we'll bring this back. Steve did pass out the
one-page sheet. Yeah.
We will attach this to the minutes so that it gets to all the council members. But then we will maybe have an additional discussion at the next meeting about
maybe something the city could do.
Under the discussion center.
Yeah.
It won't be any action required.
Right.
So,
All right. Okay, everybody grabbed a meeting dates coming up. We talked about April 4th, and if you want to just look down the list that's on there if you want, and see if there's any questions on that. And the last item is just future agenda items. Is there anything that you wish to have added to future agenda items? If not, a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right, thank you.
She got stormwater?